Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com and now on canbr.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Coming up, we'll hear from the main man in the orange and black front office and an important member of the bullpen. But first, let's learn more about our sponsors. Our regular guest this season is Giants reliever George Contos. Here's what he has to say about our favorite golf course in San Francisco, TPC Harding Park.
It's a great golf course. It's very convenient for us to get there, and it's a very challenging course. If you're not in your game, you get in the rough. Rough's along there. It's a very beautiful course. They're very gracious and get us out there anytime we're able to get out there for an off day and play some golf. So, with how beautiful the course is and how challenging it can be, it's always a lot of fun getting out there and playing around.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I guess they should have hired me for that TV commercial. No, I don't think so. But seriously, in San Francisco, it's really true. In fact, AT&T Park has a good neighbor right around the corner. That's right. Sandy Lee State Farm is a Buster Posey home run away from AT&T Park at 188 South Park Street on the corner of 3rd Street. Sandy Lee has been my State Farm agent for 10 years, and I have to tell you, when I've made claims, Sandy Lee gave me peace of mind, which is what we all need when it comes to insurance. Whether it's car, home, or even earthquake insurance, Sandy Lee and her team are down-to-earth, devoted, and understanding. They take control of any situation, and you never feel like you're being sold something. Give Sandy Lee State Farm a call at 415-227-9833. That's 415-227-9833 for Sandy Lee State Farm. The next time you're on your way to a Giants game, stop by Town's End Restaurant and Bakery for breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., or for brunch on the weekend from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Celebrating their 26th year, family-run and cozy, Town's End Restaurant and Bakery captures the spirit of San Francisco with homemade sourdough English muffins, scones, and breads. They're serving cage-free Petaluma eggs and have been organic since well before organic became mainstream. Consistent quality, 4-star Google reviews, and great service from loyal employees that have been there for over 20 years. Town's End Restaurant and Bakery, a Buster Posey home run away from AT&T Park, right along the Embarcadero at 2 Townsend Street in San Francisco. This spring, I had a chance to talk to Brian Sabian, the executive vice president of baseball operations for the San Francisco Giants, and left-handed reliever Josh Osich. Let's start with a conversation I had with Brian Sabian in Scottsdale, Arizona. Brian, how excited are you about this season, and especially when you're in spring training and you've got some battles going on for positions? How much do you look forward to watching those battles and the decisions that have to be made?
Well, very competitive camp. As you know, we're trying to round out our roster as well, more specifically the bench, and redo our bullpen. It helps with Melanson now as the cog at the end of the game. You got to backfill it from there, and we've got competition seemingly with extra infielders in camp, and we'll see how that turns out.
There's some interesting guys in this camp. I mean, Michael Morse coming back. A guy like Jimmy Rollins is here. So, when you guys determine who you're going to bring in, what do you look at as far as the characteristics of some of those players?
Well, I think it's timing. Anybody that's willing to sign a minor league contract, I think you need to be open to, and Bobby's been very agile with that. That's the numbers we have. If you look at who we have name-wise, different skill sets, different place and time in their careers, and we'll see how that plays out.
Pretty good battle for the left field starting job. What makes you guys think that, you know, either Mack Williamson or Jarrett Parker is ready for the opportunity?
Well, I think Parker's ahead of the game because of what he was able to do, more specifically as far as actually hitting the ball over the wall. Parker, being left-handed, may have an edge because you're going to face more right-handed pitching. I think Bobby's correct in saying that we'd rather have a full-time guy than some kind of platoon. And unfortunately for Williamson, you know, he's got some option an option left, which kind of dictates some flexibility there. But I'd say at this point in time, and we're way early in, normally we don't play a spring training game till March 1st, and now here it is, what is the 4th, I guess, and our first game was the 24th, so there's still plenty of time, but I'd give the nod right now to Parker.
What are you looking for from Parker? I mean, we know about the prodigious power that he has, and he's definitely been able to put up those numbers in the minor leagues, and he definitely could do it at the major league level, but the strikeouts, you know, cutting down on that, what are some of the other things you want to see from him?
Well, our left field's tough duty. First and foremost, he's going to have to, you know, play left field and do very well in a big ballpark, as well as there's big ballparks in our division. He needs consistency there. He needs consistency at home plate, really just putting the ball in play with authority. Home runs are fine, and, you know, extra base hits are fine, but what makes the world go around and what you can do with two strikes, what you do in RBI situations, and he's still learning with that.
You have all kinds of different styles on a ball club. And, you know, when I'm watching right now, I'm seeing Hunter Pence in the batting box and, batting practice. He's so different than everybody else. So how do you even look at it as far as, you know, players learning from each other when they each have their own styles?
I think that's where we're kind of unique. As you know, we don't hit home runs. We rely on keeping the line moving. We don't strike out. And it's more about putting the ball in play. So you're open-minded to what everybody can do individually. I think one of the guys that they all follow suit with is Buster's approach, which is, a real quality at bat. If it so happens to go deep in the count, he's willing to hit with two strikes, but also willing to take a walk. And I think, you know, a team feeds off that type of mentality. This team, we hope, has a little bit more speed and a little bit more power than last year or the year past.
How much does it help Buster that you now have, you know, more of a veteran catcher behind him in Hundley? Will Buster get some more time maybe at first base or even just the opportunity to take some more days off?
You know, that's always the compelling question from the outside. But the inside, we signed him as our franchise player to play the position of catcher. And therein, he's going to catch 120-plus games. So no matter whether it's Hundley or somebody else, you're only looking at maybe 40 games at the most from a backup catcher, and our aim is to get him behind home plate as much as possible, not so much at first base. If that happens in a given week or the belt, therein you deal with it. But again, he's our frontline catcher. He will be, you know, for the foreseeable future, and that means he's going to have to catch a lot of games.
How do you see it playing out as far as the competition for the number five spot in the rotation? How much of a leash do you have with Matt Cain, given, you know, he's done so much for the organization, he's had to battle through injuries, he hasn't been as successful the last few years?
Well, I think Boach and Bobby have stated it perfectly, just much like the bullpen, it's an open competition. And, you know, whether it's Cain or Block or even a dark horse in Beattie, although I'm sure he's going to start in the minor leagues, it'll play out, and it'll take most of the camp to figure it out.
How much did it help Block that he pitched so well there at the end of the year? I mean, especially in a critical game against the Dodgers. I mean, how meaningful is that when you go into spring training?
Well, it didn't hurt, but, you know, it's a small snapshot, and we're just waiting to see how he can hold his own from performance to performance as far as throwing strikes and changing speeds. And he's a tempo pitcher, and being left-handed might be an advantage for him in our ballpark.
You mentioned the fact that Melanson will help out a lot. How much do you think it just helps everybody to know their roles instead of, you know, at the end of last year, it was up in the air as far as who was going to close out the game?
Well, you need a bona fide closer, and I've been, you know, fortunate enough to have, in my career, three, you know, high-quality managers, whether it was Dusty, Felipe, or now Boach. Everybody wants a push-button bullpen, a seventh-inning guy, an eighth-inning guy, and then a legitimate closer. If you got a backfill, you got a mix-and-match, or more so what they say, play matchup baseball from inning to inning. That's maddening, and it's very tough on rotating through a bullpen on a weekly basis. So, like I said, it helps that Melanson's the guy, and then we'll figure out the seventh and eighth in this camp.
What do you think the common denominator is for a successful closer? Because Melanson, you know, he's different. He's not really going to blow hitters away with his fastball, but you've had all different kinds of closers during your time here with the San Francisco Giants. So, you know, where does he fit in as far as, you know, his style of pitching?
Well, he's a strike thrower. He can pitch. He's on a given day, he's got four pitches, and he can able to attack a hitter or get through an inning and navigate containing the game. And he's a guy that, you know, there's an old saying that you're supposed to win the games you're supposed to win, which means the games that are in the balance, the one-run games, the games are going to be decided in the last inning. You need somebody that's going to be out there throwing strikes with courage, making pitches and attacking the strike zone. He's certainly that.
He he's using that cutter pretty well. And, you know, a lot of pitchers like to pick that up. Is that something that you like to see? Because it has been, you know, such a successful pitch for a lot of guys ever since Mariano Rivera, you know, made it famous, I guess you could say. It seems like if you can throw it, you really want to throw it.
Yeah, but you can't live and die by it. There's only one Mariano Rivera, and Lord knows he's first ballot Hall of Famer. But more intriguing, the guy can get action on his fastball. He's got a legitimate above-average major league changeup, and he's got a hellacious curveball. So I said earlier, he's a four-pitch pitcher with plus control, and that's really why we signed him. It wasn't because of the cutter per se.
Before I let you go, you know, every time I talk to you, I always think about your whole background and being with the Yankees and then with the Giants. And, you know, I think about Derek Jeter and what he meant to the game. And looking at Buster Posey, we already talked about, what he means to the game just as being sort of a face, not just of the Giants, but of Major League Baseball, and how those guys handle it. You know, how has he handled all of that that comes along with being, you know, the best player on your team and one of the best players in the game?
Well, I think every organization, you know, really dies to have a Posey-type, Jeter-type franchise player, and he's certainly that. Very understated as far as his attitude, very humble, work ethic off the chart, and he wants to get better each year. And it's a tough position to play, as we know, to be a run producer, and that's even more unique. So we're very fortunate, and I think as a result, it's been a breath fresh air for our organization in general because we've continued, especially, to produce a lot of position players.
Yeah, it was nice to see him get the Gold Glove as well as Panic and Crawford. I mean, you guys must have been thrilled about it.
No question. Ronnie Walters and his staff deserve a lot of credit, you know, for the time that they put in with these guys and you know, behind the scenes, that's the other side of the game. You know, we all know it's not what you do at home plate. It's what you do in the field and how you run the bases. And, you know, we're a cut above as far as our infield defense, and we're very lucky for that.
Brian, thanks so much for the time. Good luck this season.
All right, pal. Anytime.
That's Giants Executive Vice President of Baseball Operations, Brian Sabian. Coming up, we'll hear from Josh Osich, left-handed pitcher in the Giants bullpen, right after this. A little reminder. Each week during the season, we'll be giving away a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. All you have to do is ask a question for one of our guests, and if your question is chosen, you'll receive a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. To send your questions in, email us at thesportsvirus@gmail.com or on Facebook, thesportsvirus.com page, and please like us while you're there. Just prior to spring training, I had a chance to sit down with Giants left-handed reliever Josh Osich. Here was that conversation. Josh, how much did you learn last year, you think? What were the couple things that you have at the top of your list that you learned that you were bringing into this season?
My biggest thing was last year I didn't have my changeup with me, so I pretty much went the whole year trying to get right-handers out without the pitch that I get right-handers out with. And I feel like this year I got it back, so we'll see how it goes.
It's always hard when you're not 100% healthy, too, the whole year. So how frustrating was that, and what did you do in the offseason, you know, to try to prevent injuries, if there's anything?
Yeah, it was rough. Second week of the season it happened, and then I dealt with it the whole year. And then right after the season I got my knee fixed, and now it's a lot better than it was, so I'm ready to go now. It's going to be a lot easier to play and not have to favor that side so much.
How was the rehab on that?
It actually wasn't too bad. The first, like, I'd say a month or so was kind of rough just because you're not really able to walk on or anything. And then after that, it's just all strength stuff. But that's what you do anyways when during the off season.
Let's go back to the changeup. How do you find it? Is it a pitch that's kind of tricky to find on a daily, you know, basis, day-to-day in the bullpen? And how much do you work on it in the off season?
It's one of those pitches that it's all feel. Like, it has to come off your hand right. If it's not, then it's not going to be what you want it to be. And then last year I was just fighting it so much that it almost came down to I just gave up on it just because I was wasting too much time trying to fix that and not working on anything else. And it was just hurting how I was throwing. And we all saw what happened, and it didn't turn out like I wanted to. And I feel like this year is going to be different.
The value of that, especially in a three-ball count, if you have confidence in it and you can throw it on 3-1, let's say, it must be enormous.
Yeah, it's huge. Also, I feel like I didn't really have anything that was running away from a right-hander, and that's what my changeup did. And it's between my fastball and my changeup, there's a big difference in speed. So it gets hitters off balance, and they can't just sit on – I throw fast cutter change. So when I only had my fast cutter, then it's kind of hard to – there's no speed. There's no speed difference. So whether the ball's moving or not, if it's all on the same plane, it's just it's easy to hit.
Is that something that you learn at the major league level too? Because you throw so hard, I mean, into the upper 90s, that you know, major league hitters they can turn that around if it's flat, or if they're looking for it.
Yeah, that's big league hitters can hit no matter what speed you throw. You could throw 110, they will figure out how to hit it, and that's why you have to learn how to. You have to have a secondary pitch that's pretty good, and it needs to be a lot slower than your fastball.
What was your reaction to the signing of Mark Melancon? How much will he help the bullpen?
I really like that. I like Casilla a lot, but he moved on, and we got a new guy closing the games for us, and it's going to be a fun season. I like him. I met him 2-3 days ago when we were out in Phoenix, and now we're over here, and he's a good guy.
Yeah, he really knows how to pitch. I mean, you look at the way he spots his pitches, and I mean, he's not really looking to blow away hitters. He's got movement, and I guess everybody can learn from him, right?
Yeah, he's not the guy that overpowers, and so he just sits there and he shows you with his stats and just talking to him. Like, all you got to do is just throw the right pitch at the right time and just trust everything.
How does it affect the rest of the bullpen, you think?
I think it's huge having somebody with that experience coming in, and he's top three closers, if not the best. He's up there with them, and when you have a guy like that, you have to sit there and talk to him. You don't get there just by chance, so he's got something going for him.
I was going to say, how valuable is it for you, a younger pitcher in the game, to talk to some of the guys? You know, you did lose veteran presidents in Javier Lopez and Sergio Romo, and you had Affelt here before that. So all those guys are gone now. It's up to you guys.
Yeah, I still talk to Javi. I'm going to miss him. I talked to him a lot last year, and he was a big part because lefty. He's been in the league for a while, and he just knew what he was doing. And he's another guy that doesn't overpower anybody. He's just... He always said he threw under bat speed, but I don't think that's true. But he did a really good job. He threw the right pitches in the right time, and if you look at his stats, he did it his whole career.
Does it help to relate to those lefties? I don't know how much you talk to Affelt too, and you know he's been around the team even though he's not playing anymore.
Oh yeah, I talked to those were my two guys, Affelt and Lopez, my two guys I talked to, and both of them had over 800 appearances in their career, and so it's. Big deal. You don't get run out there that much unless you're doing something right.
What were some of the things you think that they did right? Because they performed so well in the clutch. We saw what they did in postseasons. The Giants would not win those World Series without those guys.
I would probably say that they were really, really good about understanding who was coming to the bat, their weaknesses. And they also did a really good job about changing with the game. Like, obviously, both of them threw a lot harder when they were younger. And as they got older, they had to figure out how to get people out with less stuff, basically. And they figured it out. So you got to talk to those kind of guys.
Absolutely. All right, before I let you go, I'm actually going up to Corvallis to cover an event. So tell me, what am I going to look for in Corvallis? I've actually never been there, and you're an Oregon State guy.
Oregon State. I just was there for this fundraiser, Diamond Dinner that was there. And you have to go to a Hawaiian place. It's unbelievable food. It's you got to hit it up. And there's a few bars along the way. If you ever want to have a drink or anything, there's a few breweries down there that's pretty good. It's a small town, but you got to check it out.
Did you have to make a big adjustment to be here in the big city, San Francisco, compared to being in Corvallis where you went to school?
I did. So I went from Corvallis, as I was like 40,000 and 20,000 students. And then I went straight to San Jose. It's like the 10th biggest city in the country. So it was a big change for me because Boise's not very big either.
By the way, Oregon State, I was calling the College World Series when they won back-to-back College World Series championships. It really put them on the map. I mean, how much did that help the school reputation?
It's huge. I just went back there, and the whole stadium has changed since I was there. And the whole field turf, they got padded outfield fence now. They have, like, beer garden down the left field line. The stands go all the way out to the foul poles. There's fence out in the out. There's stands out in the outfield. It's a lot different than it was when I was there.
All right. Well, hopefully it'll be a fun experience for me to go there. And thank you so much for joining us. And look forward to watching you pitch this year. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
That's Giants lefty Josh Osich in a conversation we had at AT&T Park before spring training. Coming up on Wednesday, we'll hear from Giants starting pitcher Jeff Samardzija, the Shark, and catcher Trevor Brown will be our guest as well. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on the sportsvirus.com and now on canbr.com.